We're live. Hey, everybody. Turn my little team chat off, otherwise I'm going to be distracted the whole time. My poor little ADHD brain can't multitask. I also can't, like, talk to people and drive at the same time, which is, I find very awkward. I'm like, I'm busy. Don't talk to me. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you guys. Thank you guys so much for coming. It's so good to see both of your guys' faces and be on camera all together. I'll let you guys introduce yourselves. Tell everybody who you are, what you do. If you have any free gifts you're promoting right now that people could grab, go ahead and mention those. And then we'll just go ahead and get started. Who wants to go first?
I can kick us off. I'm Samara Kasai. I take they, them pronouns. I'm a coach broadly, and I'm a business mentor. I'm a self-healing mentor. And then I'm also a manifestation mentor for trauma survivors specifically. So that's...
Ooh, that's such an interesting niche. Oh my God. Yeah. I didn't know that you did that with the manifestation trauma survivor. I'm like, hello. Help me. Yes. Teach me all the things. Samara.
Oh my God. Yeah. That's literally going to be all life. The content because I'm... we're about to launch our mentorship for that. So there's, if you watch my content, that will literally.
Oh my gosh, I'm going to go lurk around so hard.
But yeah, so that's what I do. And that is usually the reaction because people are like, wait a minute. Anyway, that's like a whole nother conversation. Trauma. I have a background in mental health counseling. So the trauma-informed manifestation piece, it just like, melts really well in my brain, but doesn't melt well for other people's brains. So that is the thing that I bring to the space. In terms of free stuff, I have a breathwork and meditation bundle called Exhale Scarcity, Inhale Abundance. It is one of my most popular.
That's amazing. That's free.
Yeah. It's fun.
I'm going to
look
you so hard after that. I'm going to get that too. I'm like, I'm going to be on the wait list for your program. I'm going to be doing my breathwork.
Yes. Well, I hope y'all love all the things. And that's it. That's what you need to know about me.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome. And then Allison, you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, business and marketing coach with also mindset specialty. And I have, that's so funny. Part of what I talk about in the book, which is what I was going to announce for my like free offer, is I have a wait list for the book. And it's I'm writing a book.
How did I not know that?
And I decided on a launch date. So now I'm like extra committed, but it's called Embodied Abundance and it's about trauma-informed manifesting.
Oh my God.
Which I don't lead with those words, but I think that is so interesting to me that on the call about investing, we have like, I don't know where Tyra is, but I felt like all of us were kind of like mindset energetics, like trauma informed. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, Tyra is too.
Interesting. That's probably not a coincidence. Anyway, so I love it. Yeah, I've been marketing since 2011. And then I started, like a lot of my case studies don't mention marketing. They mention mindset. And so I was like, there's something here. And then started hitting walls with like how far mindset was getting me and then discovered like somatic work and all of that. But yeah, the wait list for the book is allisonraves.co/embodied-abundance-book. Probably you can just go to my everything page and everything and find it. I hear an echo all of a sudden.
Tyra, I think we're getting feedback from your speaker. Yeah, she's going to get headphones, it looks like. I know. I love that you guys all... because I kind of know each of you individually from different things. But when I saw you guys all sign up for the same call, I was like, that is really funny. Because you're all like you're all on the same vibe.
Hi.
Tyra. Let's see. Is that better with the echo?
Testing.
There we go. Oh my gosh. That sound is crisp. So if you want to just introduce yourself and tell everybody who you are, what you do, and if you have any free stuff that you're promoting right now that we could grab, just let everybody know.
Yes, I am Tyra and I am a spiritual guide and coach. I love helping women align with their life purpose using the power of ancient wisdom, things like readings and astrology and the goddess-centered lifestyle, which I do subscribe that there is a goddess, but another way of looking at that is just aligning with your feminine energy and being good with being a woman and all the greatness that comes with being a woman. Goddessbodymindspirit.com is my website, and there you can grab my toolkit as well as I have a special reading that I put together for 2024 there.
That's awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for being here. I'm excited to have this conversation. Today we're talking about investing in yourself. And I think the title was like your best asset in your business, like investing in yourself. And I'd love to hear from you guys, like, what is, this is kind of a tough question, but I'm going to put you all on the spot because I know you guys will come through with some good answers, I feel like. I'd love to hear, like, what is your best investment you've made in yourself and how did that impact your business? I know it's a tough,
mine. I'll go ahead and start. I invested in a lot of great business coaching programs, but I feel like the most powerful investment I made was in a very feminine, energetic, like spiritual life coach. I started working with her. And her name is Jenny Conch on Instagram, The Medium Experience. I started working with her in June of 2022 on the tail end of an addiction to business masterminds. And it was like,
It was a very expensive addiction.
Yeah. But working with her, it was all about the feminine, which I like didn't know in those energetics, like really good at taking action, really good at the practical stuff, and really did not know about like trusting or like leaning back, leaning into my intuition. So I've been working with her for coming on 2 years now and just constantly being challenged and like leaning back, trusting, doing things my own way, learning to lead myself again was a huge theme. Like yeah. Trusting myself, like business coaches are extra credit and not who I'm outsourcing my power to now. Ooh. And I would say that's like the most powerful investment I've made.
That's amazing. Yeah, I've had a similar experience too with masterminds. And I always say mine for me was Leonie Dawson. I feel like did that for me. Like Leonie, I always say is like my like business coach chicken soup. And after I had been in like a very high level, very like business, money, mastermind, there was a lot of, I think, I would say like light trauma from that mastermind. And I'm like, Leonie like healed me. And she was like, you could just do things how you want. Like you could have fun. Like this doesn't have to be so serious all the time. And I just remember like during that time, like I just had her in my ear all the time. I like joined her academy and I would just like listen to her because she just made me feel like safe and good. And like, she was like a little business hug that I needed. And what about you guys? What would you say was like your best investment you've made in yourself for like as a business investment?
I have two. One is very much on the same wavelength of y'all. It was actually a spiritual healing coach that I worked with that really helped me untangle my trauma coming from Christianity. And this was like something that I didn't know I was doing for my business, as this tends to be, but it helped so much just in my sense of self, my understanding of where I fit into the landscape of like being a self-healing guide and what I'm specifically here to do and the specific value that I can bring to people, because the narrative that I had built based off of Christianity was just so like narrow and like reward punishment and just like didn't set me up well to be an effective leader for other people. And so that work took place over a year and just like completely changed how I operate in all areas of my life and especially in my business. And then the second one is actually a team, like having contractors.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
As a person who I can get into like an ADHD vortex and just work, having the discernment to be like, oh, but you don't have to do all the things, even yeah. if you could, and even if you could like conjure up the energy and the focus to do all the things, it just has freed me up so much to be able to work on and be really good at the things I want to be really good at and then not feel like I have to be good at all the things. So
I'm so glad you said that. And I think that's a really good point. Cause when I think about investing in yourself, like my brain first goes to like education and certifications and masterminds. But I think like when I think about it too, one of the best money I spend is definitely on my team. And I always say like, I have a little team of like literal VA angels that are like, they're so amazing. And they're like my little internet family. And I just love them so much. And I'm so grateful to everything that they do. But I think that's a great way of thinking about it too, is like investing in yourself is also investing in support for yourself. So like buying back time or like a house cleaner, or like one of the first things I outsourced was I hate grocery shopping. So I like started getting groceries delivered and like stuff like that are also like really great ways to invest in yourself that can then give you more energy and capacity to work in your business. I always say like outsourcing that customer service inbox, like the best money I spend. I don't do any email in my business, which is great for my ADHD. Cause if I go in the inbox, it's like, I just lose 2 hours of my life immediately because I just get hyper fixated on going through all this stuff. And the team does all the email. And then if they need something, they just ask me on Skype. So I never have to do any email. And it's like the best. 10 out of 10 recommend if you're like an email, if you're very distractible like me and you get a lot of email, get yourself a good VA. And then what about you, Tyra? What would you say was like your like biggest, like best investment that you made in yourself?
I'm going to have to give two also. Just I'll start off with the first one is investing in initiating. I am an initiated priestess. So I just feel like I walk up, many of us, especially in online business, feel like we walk a different path. There was just no one I knew who understood things the way that I was feeling led spiritually. And so I just want to honor my original teacher. Her name is Oshinike. And I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing today. I wouldn't be, you know, into the feminine and doing readings. None of that would happen. I would not have a business if it wasn't for me initially investing with her. Business-wise, you. I said, if I really think about...
Thank you, Tyra. That was great. Have I been with the longest?
Who have I been with the longest? This is like home base. I might leave and, you know, like I told you recently, I was in a training for 6 months to be a trainer for another company. The whole time I was like, I can't wait to get back to the mastermind so I can start going to coaching and, you know, just be a part of all of the challenges. Your example for me has been really good. I mean, we're in two different niches, but I often model a lot of what I see. You have so much compassion and, you know, so much around mindset has been helpful. The borrowed thoughts. And having a community, that is one of the best investments. Just feeling so alone is not fun and it demotivates me. And so I always know I can come in and cheer someone on or I can be cheered.
Yeah. And someday we do the cheering, someday we get cheered. I like that.
Some days we do the crying and some days we do the comforting inside of the mastermind too. But, you know, sometimes we're so lost in what we're doing that we forget what we know. And so it helps me because I feel like at this point, I'm not a baby entrepreneur. I tried to lean on that forever, but I forget. And then I'll come into the mastermind and I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Boom. Re-energized, ready to go. So business wise, hands down. Mastermind with Faith Mariah.
I appreciate you. I love Tyra was gone and she came on the call. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to see you. And she's like, I'm back home. That was really fun. What do you guys think about one of the things that people ask me a lot is like, should I do it? Should I not do it? How do I figure out what to invest in? And there's so many great people offering great programs all the time. And there's so many big launches and like, it's so easy to get, I'm sure all of us have made investments also, or maybe it's just me, where it's like you get caught up in the hype of something and you buy something and then a week later you're like, why did I buy that? my brain loves to like get excited. I love a good like hyped up launch. And that's just something I really have to watch is like, is this an investment that I need and something that makes strategic sense right now? Or is this just Faith being like excited and in the energy of the launch and everything? But what kind of advice do you guys have about how do you kind of navigate for that for yourself? And what advice would you give to maybe like newer entrepreneurs that are like, I know I need to learn a lot. There's a lot to learn here. And like, how do I figure out where to put my money and where to make investments? You guys have a process for that? Or what kind of advice could you give for our newbie friends out there?
I'll start off on this one because it's something I'm passionate about. I want to recommend getting coaching or being a part of a program that gives you foundational things, you know, a foundational understanding. Because sometimes it's not about a specific strategy. Sometimes it's about understanding what it means to be an entrepreneur, especially an online entrepreneur. This is still, in my opinion, the Wild Wild West. And what I wish I had known back then, you know, now what I know now that I wish I had known back then was I don't need a strategy right away that is complicated, you know, like, because we are going to have to kind of figure some things out. I knew I had YouTube, seemed like YouTube was working, but there was something else that I needed. And so, you know, it wasn't important for me just to invest in, you know, YouTube strategy. Understanding what does it mean to be an entrepreneur? Can you find somebody that can help you to understand that, to have that good foundation? After a while, what will happen is you will kind of have like an idea of where you're headed and what you want to do. And then you can begin to make strategic decisions about who you will invest with. So I eventually began to say, you know what? Email is actually bae. I love email. And so I just started looking for people who could talk to me about email. And, you know, it's like, I'm just diving into that and I'm not trying to do a whole bunch of things. So I will say, minimize what you focus on. See if you can find someone who can help you to understand to a certain degree, like the bigger picture, and then you can begin to zone in and narrow down on specific strategies.
Yeah, that's really, really good advice.
I'm obsessed with that advice. I love that advice. I think, like, because I think one of the traps we get into, or that people get into, especially early on, is they like start following all the gurus and they're getting targeted by all the gurus and they buy a really expensive strategy that may or may not be aligned before they know any of the words to use. So that's a really good frame. I love that. I'll go kind of a different angle and just talk about, I've been kind of thinking about an investment I made recently and had a really good lesson, which is if I'm convincing myself to buy it, then it's probably FOMO. And so there's things I want to do where I'm like, it's kind of painful, but I know I'm going to do this. You know, like, it's not always like spending money is the funnest thing, right? It's not always going to feel good. So you can lean on your sacral to like make yes and no decisions, but that doesn't mean you're always going to feel awesome about investing. Especially if you're newer to investing. But if I have to convince myself to do it, it doesn't matter if I have good reasons or not. So like, I've invested in two things recently, and I was going to invest in a third very similar thing. And there's no objective reason why I shouldn't do that thing, except for that I'd already done these other two things. And I was like, I'm convincing myself to do this. Why am I doing that? Because I don't want to miss out. I'll just do this the next time and let it go. And so that was like a specific realization I had, was like, if I'm convincing myself to do it, then it's probably not the right time. And I can just trust that that's the thing.
That's a really good, I feel like, way of putting it. And I've been doing something similar too, where I'm like, the question I ask is like, why do you have to do this right now? And like, a lot of times for me, it shows up, the FOMO stuff shows up almost as like this urgency, like, oh my God, we need to buy it. And like, that almost always is like that FOMO thing, right? Because when I look at the business and the strategy and like what's going on in my life and my business, it's almost never actually that urgent. So that just shows me like, oh, this urgency is like being manufactured from a different place. It's not an urgency of something my business really needs right now. And something I'll do is like, okay, if you still want to join like next time they open, then you can join. And I do the same thing with my Amazon cart. This is embarrassing, but I am an impulse shopper, and I will at night when I can't sleep, I'll like go on Instagram and I get sucked into everybody's like cute little shit they're selling on Amazon. And then I'll like get these packages and I'm like, what are we doing? And so what I do is I just put it in the cart at night. I'm like, you don't buy anything now. Between midnight and 6 a.m, you just don't buy anything. It goes in the cart. And I'm like, in 3 days, if you still feel like you need that thing, then you can buy it. So at night, I put all this stuff in my cart on Amazon. And then the next day, I'm usually like, what? Like, no. And I like have to move it all out. But I kind of do the same thing with courses, where I'll be like, okay, if you still want to do this, like the next launch, or you still want to do this next quarter, or you still want to do this, like, then you can do it. But you don't need to be doing this right this second, right now. And that's been really helpful for me. It's the Amazon cart strategy.
That's the official name. I love that.
Yeah, there you go.
Faith, honestly, I love that Amazon cart strategy. My therapist taught it to me like 2 years ago, and it changes everything.
What do you think you need at 3 a.m? Like, sometimes you don't need. Who knew?
Maybe you do sometimes, but usually you don't. But yeah, no, honestly, nothing to be embarrassed about. I do the exact same thing, and it is gold. In terms of like coaching and stuff, though, I first of all love everything that everyone already said. And it was kind of like I was listening and I was like, this is what I would say. What would I add to this? Because a lot of it is what I do, too, which is kind of an interesting synchronicity. But what I would contribute is, for me, it really helps to come back to like the vision I had for my business way in the beginning, when I thought everything was possible and I wasn't jaded at all and I hadn't had a bunch of like trial and error and obstacles and stuff. Because coming back to like, what did I envision for myself, for my life? What felt like just exciting and organic and natural? And really checking that against what I'm about to sign up for, because we can like panic buy stuff if we are trying to do it like the way that feels aligned and it's not working as quickly as we thought it would, or we're running into like unexpected challenges. And I feel like what has helped me the most is I'm going to get mentored around building the business I actually want to have, instead of letting someone else tell me like, oh, you don't need to focus on that. Focus on this thing I'm selling, and then like getting distracted all over the place, which is definitely what I did in the beginning. But yeah, like now it's really just like me coming back to, what do I know I want my business to look like if literally everything is possible? This is kind of like a manifestation tool too, right? Like I ask my students, if everything is possible and there are no rules, what do you actually really want? And then from there, can we learn how to be the person who has what we actually want to have, you know?
I love that. I want to ask you guys about money. I love that Allison was like, spending money doesn't always feel the best. And I remember when I started my business, the first investment I made was like in a program. I want to say it was like $700 or it might've been $1,000. And I remember putting my credit card information in. I remember this. This was like years ago. I remember where I was sitting, what I was doing. I remember putting my credit card in my phone and being like, is this totally insane? Because I didn't know any other entrepreneurs or anyone that had done anything like that. And I was just like, I remember like feeling like I was going to be sick. Like I was going to throw up. Like it felt so terrible. And obviously now I'm like so grateful I made that investment, because it sent me down what I think will probably be like a lifelong journey of entrepreneurship and starting different businesses and doing all kinds of different things that, you know, I'm just so grateful for the experience I've had so far, and I'm excited for everything that would come. But what do you guys think about, how would you advise people to navigate like the discomfort of spending money? And like, have you had that come up when you make investments? How do you handle that? And then like, there's that part about listening to your intuition, but then like sometimes, like Allison's saying, you do have to kind of like get yourself to go on and put your like wallet where what you're wanting to do is, and make those investments. What kind of, I don't know, I would love to hear your guys' thoughts just about that, about how you kind of manage the discomfort of spending money, and especially for new people too. Like, what kind of advice would you have for new people that are like, ooh, like I've never made an investment and I know there's a lot to learn here and I'm going to have to like step up here pretty soon. What do you guys think? Have you had experiences like that? And like, how did you navigate it?
Yeah. I think the first thing I would say on is like, when a client is asking me about making a decision like that, even though they might've already bought something from me and they're looking at buying the next thing, I always think about like, or even just more generally, if they're having fear around money, I'm always like, are you safe at a practical level? Like, did you spend your mortgage to do this? Because that's not great. So it's like, because you can't feel like, the first thing is like, are you safe at a practical level? And so like, I have a client who she has saved enough money to not have to work for 2 years and then invested in me and is like going hard on making a blog. So that's like a unique situation. But when she's feeling in fear about money, like she decided to quit a part-time job that was going to extend her runway a little bit. And I'm like, she's feeling anxiety. And I'm like, so if, are you safe at a practical level? Yes. Okay. Can you make this investment and still focus on what you need to do in your business? Because if the investment is going to make her nervous system dysregulated, there's like a level, and sometimes you don't know this because so many of us are like so disembodied, we don't even know how to feel anything at all. But for her, it's like, can you do this? Like, can you go without the part-time job and still be regulated enough to continue? Yes. Okay. Then we're going to go. And then like, we'll go until we can't. We set a boundary on how much money you have. And so that's the first question is like, are you safe at a practical level? Like, does spending this put you out of practical safety? And then like, can you stay safe in your body while making that investment? So is it going to be like so stressful that I feel like my life is on fire, I feel like I'm dying? Or is it going to be stressful enough to where I can learn how to like calm down? And again, like, I don't know that I have any advice on like what that difference is in this moment, but that's like, if it puts you in danger at a practical level, then that's a really personal decision. Like, I know someone else who quit a job with no backup plan and started coaching and like had a mortgage to pay. She didn't have kids, so her life was simple. But that to me, I could never do it. Like, I quit my job by full-time job, then going part-time, having my first five-figure month, then quitting and doing full-time entrepreneurship. So that like level of practical safety is going to be different than everyone, for everyone. But if you're safe practically, then you need to decide, like, can I stay regulated even though this is scary? And that's for obviously like big decisions.
That's so important. I teach something really similar where we do in the mastermind, we do, okay, like, what is the worst case look like? Like, what is it? What is the absolute worst case that could possibly happen? And then what's the best case? And then it's like, are you willing to risk potentially having to live through the worst case for the chance of having the best case? And you make a decision and then you keep your thoughts lined up with that choice. But I do think
a shorter way to say it. That's good. I like that.
I love how you said it too. But I think it's like really important to look at like, yeah, am I practically safe? And like, what is the worst thing that could happen? And a lot of times it's like, oh, well, the worst thing, I remember thinking when I quit my job, like the very worst thing that happens, if I really, really, really mess up and like go totally crazy and like everything falls apart and I like lose my house and like lose it, I'm like, well, the worst thing that happens is like I have to go live at the guest room at my parents' house. And like, I've already done that many times and it's not that bad. So I remember kind of thinking like, yeah, like I was willing to risk it. And I felt like the probability of that happening were like almost nothing at that time. I was also like, oh, I could wait tables and stuff. But I think taking your brain to like, what is the worst case? Am I willing to risk that for the possibility of the best case? And like, I always tell people, I'm like, you don't ever put yourself in the possibility of living through something that you don't want to live through, that you're not willing to live through. I'm like, don't put yourself in that situation. We can always like, you can always mitigate risk in business decisions, right? So you can pad the bank account, you can get a side job, you can, you know, there's lots of different options besides just like jump off the building. It's like, well, maybe we could build a little bit of a bridge first or make a little net. I don't know.
I love that. And I feel like that kind of leads me into my super practical piece. And then there's like kind of more of like the emotional, energetic piece. Yeah. But for me, the super practical piece is like, what is your relationship with money like overall? Do you understand how much money you need in order to live in the way that you want to live? And then where does allocating some money to go towards this, like, how does that impact your other things? And so I actually, even before I had like more established like bookkeeping practices, I would have like a little savings account that was just like every month I put money in here and this is the money I'm going to invest into my business. And it would be very practical. Like, is the money that I have saved up here, you know, does it match the price point of this thing or does it not? And that was something I had to learn because at first I really wasn't doing that. And then I was like, why can't I pay my Wi-Fi bill? I could always pay my Wi-Fi bill, but like Spotify actually was the one that would always bounce. And I love Spotify. And I was like, why is my Spotify bill bouncing right now?
oh, because I spent too much money on coaching or whatever. So I was just like, let's just make it very clean. Like, I will always have enough money for all the things I really want in my life. And I will have the money for coaching, even if it means I build that up over time, you know? And I think that goes back to this FOMO piece of realizing, like, do you need this right now? Or is it something that, like, you know, you trust that at the time when you have the money, it will also be available for you to buy it. So that's like a self-trust piece. And then the emotional energetic is like, you know, we don't really know what's going to happen in life, but I have always advised people to just become someone who trusts yourself to navigate whatever happens. Mm-hmm. Like if you sign up for something and you don't get the result that you hoped you would, how can you hold space for yourself through that experience? Because whether it's like an unexpected sickness or something happens to someone in your family or whatever, like we all have these things that pop up in life. We do our best to mitigate the risk on the front end, but like on the back end, you got to know how to hold space for yourself and like to be in challenging situations. And I think that's part of it too, you know?
Yeah. I love that you mentioned that practical piece too. And something that has come up for me, especially a lot recently, like as the business has made more money and stuff, my thought pattern about money all the time is like, I don't have enough. We shouldn't be spending that. That's kind of my default thought about money. And I love you said you were like, what's your relationship like with money overall? Because I know that about myself, like when my brain starts being like, oh my gosh, like don't buy that. Like we shouldn't spend that. This is like kind of my overall relationship with money overall that I'm like working on healing and stuff. But just being aware of like, what are your patterns? So you know, am I really like in money danger scarcity? Or is this just like my brain doing the thought thing that it likes to do? For me now, it's like, there's money in the bank account. like I'm very lucky, right, that way. And that's just not I live in a very different financial reality than I did, especially like 5 years ago even. So I love that you said that about like, what's your relationship like with money overall? And like, sometimes when we start panicking, it's like, is this real that there is money scarcity and I should like save for this a little bit longer? Or is this like my story with money? And I think a lot of women are indoctrinated of like for me, it was always showed up as like, there's not enough and like save it all and don't waste it. And like mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff that we kind of hear, I feel like a lot growing up. What about you, Tyra?
Okay. Is it Samara or Samara?
Samara.
Samara. Okay. So I'm kind of vibing off of Samara, kind of extending myself from what Samara is talking about. So I have to say, I am not one that has the fear of investment. I was thinking, why don't I have it? And it kind of stems from when I was a fitness instructor, the way that to me, the better instructors, the ones who were most effective, you know, had the safest classes, were the ones of us who invested in ourselves. There were some who just went and got the certification and it was just kind of like willy-nilly, people were getting hurt. And so I just learned, I become a powerhouse the more I invest in myself. Now, we have to consider everything that, you know, has already been stated, but investing in oneself, like who else should I invest in? Like I should invest in myself. That's just how I feel. And I think it has just been cultivated in me. And so that's the thing I want to offer is investment in self is important. We're taught to give. It's better to give than to receive, but it's just not true. We must believe in ourselves. We must invest in ourselves. And so going back to something else that Samara talked about, when I think about business investments, I have to think about the original reason I started. Like, what is going to help me to actually get my gifts, my talents, services, messages out into the world? The smaller I am, I just find I'm not helping people in the way that I was born to help people. Mm-hmm. And so when I invest in myself, I just notice I become bigger. Even my community will say, wow, you're different. I see something different in you. I'm stronger. And so there's a lot of beauty, a lot of health, and it's not even just about the business. I am a better person. Just listening to you, Faith, talk about how you are with money now. It's like, wow, 5 years ago, Faith was very different with money. I bet you would take where you are today any day now.
Oh, yeah.
Over going back, right?
I wake up every day. I'm like, am I a rich queen? What's happening? Am I the richest girl in the world?
You deserve that. We deserve to feel good. We deserve to have belief in ourselves. So I think it's an investment in our business is giving our, the other day, Faith, you were talking about not outsourcing how we feel about ourselves to other people. One of the best ways to make sure that we keep our kudos for ourselves is to invest in self, you know, and it only helps everything and everyone else when we invest in ourselves. The last little thing that I'm going to say, and I'm just throwing this in here because I am weird and I am different. Baby, I will do a reading, okay? When I'm emotionally trying to buy something, FOMO, just do that reading, comes back. Girl, don't do this. Mm-hmm. Or yeah, you might feel afraid, but this is the very thing that you need to do. And I also use things like astrology. There are just certain times I'm not going to press that buy button. I'm not buying anything. This is not the season for buying. So I'll just say sometimes it's a cycle, and maybe other people have ways of keeping up with their cycles, but, and I'm not talking about the menstrual cycle, although that could be something, but, you know, our astrological cycles, numerological cycles, those kinds of things are also things that I use.
Yeah, I love that. And I think, like, if you guys aren't into astrology, first of all, hire Tyra because she's amazing. And on my team, one of the contractors on my team works with Tyra, and we joke about you in the chat. Like, she'll be like, Tyra said there's a lot of tech problems this week. And would you not know that week was hell for me, Tyra? So we're always what does Tyra tell you about the tech problems? Get her on the phone. If you guys need some wisdom, definitely talk to her. You know, it could be for different people, like astrology or cards or journaling. Like, there's different ways to access your wisdom, I think, right? And so it's great. Like, Tyra's like, I know, like, astrology, I can get that wisdom on the hotline. Like, I can get the wisdom downloads when I need them, and figuring out, like, how are you going to access your own intuition and your own things? And then, Allison, I have to read you this comment for Nadine Live. She said, I love that. I have to convince myself to buy. It is probably FOMO. Might need a hoodie and a sticker. Oh, maybe you need to make some, like, FOMO stickers.
Yeah. Nadine, if you make it first, let us know. Post it in the group and I'll buy it if you make
business
it.
Business idea for anybody. up for grabs. Yeah, I love all of that. And then something else I hear from people is like, and I've had a lot of drama about this too, about, like, am I going to get an ROI, like a return on investment? Am I going to get, and I'd love to hear how you guys kind of quantify that in your brain, because I think about this so much with the mastermind too, is like, of course I want everyone in the mastermind to come in and make their money. Like, we work very hard to try to, I'm like, I'll give you leads. Like, I'll help you, like, make your sales page. Like, I really try to get them their investment back. But the reality is, for some people, it's going to take the time that it takes to be able to have a profitable business. And for some people, that takes longer. And a lot of times they'll write, like, you know, the business isn't making money yet, but I want you to know, like, it's changed the relationship with my kid, or this happened, or I was in this situation and you said this, and it, like, really gave me perspective and I was able to navigate it. And, like, they get intangible results, even though they're joining for a monetary result. And I do think we're giving people the skills in there. I don't want anybody to, like, be confused. Like, I'm not like, oh, you got intangible results. Like, here you go. I'm like, no, they're getting, like, business training in there too. But we hear that a lot from people, that they're getting intangible ROI. Like, they're getting other things out of the program that maybe aren't even on the sales page, that aren't even things that we're really marketing necessarily. And so how do you guys figure out, like, is an investment worth it when there's, like, money ROI, but then there's intangible ROI? And how do you decide, like, what's worth your money or not?
So something that I heard that really helped me with this was this idea, and this person is actually talking about the stock market, so it's a little bit different, but, like, using the word investing, right? Whatever. But this idea that, like, it only becomes not worth it if you pull out of it. Mm-hmm. Because if you're committed to your business, like, the way that I bridge it is, like, if you're committed to your business,
for the long haul, you will make it work. And it is ultimately up to you. Like, the person will give you everything that they know to give you. And like people like us, it's like we're doing our best to give you everything we have that has helped us, that has helped our clients. But we know we are the ones who built our businesses. Our clients are the ones who built their businesses. And everyone has to take accountability for like what they're building. And we can be like a guide and a resource and a mentor, but we're not responsible for building anyone's business for them, you know? So that's like how I think about it for myself as a coach, I guess.
I love that analogy you said about the stock market. That just like blew my mind. I've never thought about it like that, but I think about that. Matt and I invested in real estate, and I think about that with the house where I'm like, if we just, because the market goes up and down, as you guys know, and that house is costing me a lot of money this year. And so my brain, of course, has like drama about that. But I just think like, no, we're going to leave the money. You had the money, you took it, you put it in the house. We're going to leave it there. And I'm like, it is growing. Because when we sell that house in 10 years, it's going to be worth more than it's worth now. That's just the trajectory of where we live. We live in a place that is going to do that. And we invested in a neighborhood that's like up and coming. Like, there's very little doubt in my mind that house is going to be worth a lot more than what we put into it. And I keep having to tell myself that, right? But I had never thought about it, like you said, like with the business investments or the intangible results. It's like, you know, if you put your money in the stock market and you pull it out, or we put the money in the house and then we freak out and we pull it out, like you lose money. But if you just leave it there long enough and you play a long enough game, like those results are pretty consistent that people get with those types of investments. So I think you're spot on. I bet if you played it out over a long enough period of time of like people that invest in learning business skills and mindset stuff, and they keep investing and stay in the game over a long enough period of time, I bet they do make that money back. I'm like, I want to see some data.
I know. It's like someone should do this study.
That's such a good way of thinking about it, though. I've never heard anybody say that. And I love how you said that. That's so good.
I think this goes back to what Samara said earlier too, about like, I'm the kind of person who will make it work. I'm the kind of person who will, like, whatever happens, I'm going to figure it out. Like, I trust I'm that kind of person. The first big investment I made was like, I'm like a go bigger. I used to be a go bigger, go home kind of person. I spent $8,000 for someone to make a funnel with me. That was my first investment. That was insane. And that year I did make some money, but I ended up losing $7,000 total, which is like, if you've never spent that kind of money before, that felt devastating. I was like, well, just ruined my life. But what happened, that investment was somebody building a very complex webinar funnel for me in 2017. I didn't understand webinar funnels before that. So after that, I was able to start building them in my career. I started getting consulting clients from the real estate investing industry because I knew how to do all this technical stuff. I feel like that's what accelerated my marketing consulting starting in 2018, 2019. And so I dooted on myself for like 4 years for that investment. But then later I was like, when I saw like, okay, the first year I lost $7,000, the next year I made $15,000. The year after that, I made $60,000. And then I quit my job and did, you know, 260 and then whatever, so on and so forth. It was like up and down. But when I look at the trajectory of like, I lost $7,000, and in the context of things, I'm like, wow, we like turned some things around. And so I think it's hard to measure the ROI. And again, this goes back to what you said too, Faith, and what I said earlier, which is like, if you can't handle the worst case scenario, it's probably not the time to buy that. You just have to know that whatever you invest in, like, you will make it work. If you bought it, you were supposed to buy it. You were supposed to learn those lessons. Like, there's only one program I bought where I'm like, that felt like a waste of money, where like I didn't end up using a whole lot, but there were still a lot of lessons for me to learn in that. And so the only thing I have to add is just to repeat what other people already said.
I love that you said, though, that was a really good like little mic drop where you said, like, if you bought it, you were supposed to buy it. Mm-hmm. And we talk about this a lot in the mastermind, and I have a decision-making framework I teach them. But the decision-making framework that I teach is like, the last step of it is like, you keep your brain lined up with the thought. You make the decision and you keep your brain lined up thinking positive thoughts about that decision. And you're not allowed to go back and circle back and shit on past self.
I love that. Yeah.
I'm just like, you gotta have past self back. Yeah. Well, I'm like, when your current self knows that future self is out there waiting with the beating stick, all that does is like create like inability to make decision in the present. And it creates a lot of anxiety for people and a lot of fear because they know if they don't get the ROI, their brain's going to circle back and shame the crap out of themselves. And really, like, I coach a lot of moms, like moms with that shame stick, man, they will really give themselves a lot of grief. Like, I mean, they'll be like, I could have given that money to my children. Like, it's like, they'll just, it's a really, I mean, women, I think in general, like we can tell ourselves some really painful stories, right? And so if current self knows future self is waiting out there to like shame us and tell us how wrong we are and tell us how terrible it all was and how we shouldn't have done that, it's like, of course you can't make decisions in the present. Right. So you have to have your, you have to commit to having your own back and that you're not going to go into the future and come back and beat the crap out of yourself. And it's like all of us are going to make decisions we would not remake. And that doesn't mean that you shouldn't about the program. It doesn't mean you have to beat yourself up about it. It's like you can learn the lessons and like move on and still be like, yeah, I see why I did that. Right. I made a lot of decisions, spent a lot of money. I would not remake those choices. Right. But I see why past Faith did that. I see why she thought it was a good idea. And I see like why she wanted to try it. And I fully support her, even though me now, but I know a lot more now than past self, right? We're always trying to beat up on poor past self, but like past self has limited info. I'm like poor past Faith, that little dumb idiot, just doing the best she could back there. I'm like joking, but it's like, she didn't have the information, right? So anyway, I love that you said that. I think about that a lot, about just like you were supposed to buy it. I think that's a really good thought for people. And hopefully if anybody's listening to this and you've made some investments where you're like, like, oh no, like you were supposed to buy it. We can learn the lessons. All of us are going to make investments maybe that we wouldn't remake. It's okay. You don't need to like beat yourself up about it. You can learn the lessons and move forward. And now we have more information going forward. That's all.
Yeah. Everything that y'all said is just so, so good. Because, you know, there's one investment I think about and I even get, well, I used to get angry. I've released the anger using emotional freedom technique and hypnosis.
Oh, we love it.
But what I learned is, okay, sometimes you're going to learn what it's like gung-ho. I learned something. This is so great. I love this. And sometimes it's like, okay, I know what not to do. Why is one more favorable than the other? It's actually not, you know? But in terms of, for me, return on investment, it's so similar to what everyone is saying. And I wanted to say one of the ways that I prevent myself from making too many investments is I'll say, did you finish the last program that you bought? Oh, that's you're not finna buy nothing else until you finish the last program that you bought, you know? Okay. And so it's all about being invested in it and being all in. You know, I'm a gung-ho kind of gal. So my thing is this, if, all right, y'all, you know, on day of pressing that buy button, all right, Tyra, we're doing this thing. I'm hyping myself up. And I tell myself, no matter what, you will get to the end of this program. And every time, like you said, sometimes it's, I have grown personally. And other times it is, well, I'm not going to lie. I look at reviews to see how many people are posting when they have those testimonials. Someone is saying, they're talking about the return that they got, like their email list actually did grow, or they actually did make more money, or this particular program helped them, you know, to feel better energetically. Or, you know, when it comes to manifestation, you know, they were able to have a better, you know, abundance consciousness to manifest. And what did they manifest? I actually do look through testimonials to see, am I seeing that? But once I make that purchase, I am committed. I am all in. And past Tyra, I have begun to learn. That chick was amazing. She had limited information, but she was like, I'm willing because I care about this mission that I have in my life. I care about this business. I am willing to do it. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, return on investment is just, it's just a decision.
I love that. Decision making is so powerful. Yeah, Tamara, Were you going to say?
I was just saying that the return on investment is just a decision. That should be also on a sticker, a hoodie, in everything. I love that.
Like a bumper sticker call.
We should make a calendar with all the quotes from this conversation.
I've never even thought about it being a decision, Tyra. And I do think you're right, because when I think about the places like I did make my money, I am like, I'm very goal oriented, like very like person. And when I buy something, I'm like, I'm getting this investment back times three. And I just like, I'm like, there's a lot of times where I'm just like not available for any other outcome. And I'm just like, I need to make this amount. Like, here we go. I need to make, you know, the investment back times whatever I decide. But I do think it is a decision. I never really thought about it as like a, it's just kind of how my brain, I think, has adapted to doing things in the business. But I'm like, I'll evaluate when I'm making decisions, if it's something I'm buying for an ROI, right? There's investments I make in my personal growth and in my coaching and in different skills I need. But there are investments I just make where I'm like, I want to make more money in the business. I'm learning this skill to make more money in the business and I want an ROI. And I'll just be like, I'm making the money back plus this. And that also kind of helps me evaluate, do I think this program can do that? Because instead of just like, oh, I'm going to learn email. If you're like, okay, I want to learn more about email. The course is 2000. Do I think I can get 6000 out of here? It kind of makes you go back and be like, well, wait, what is in there? And like, is it going to help us make more sales? I love learning. So like, I would buy everybody's thing. Like if I had unlimited amounts of money and unlimited amounts of time, that's all I would do is like be in programs and learning. Like I just love learning. So I think that shift of like, I want the investment back multiplied. And do I have the tools in here? I mean, you have to take your best guess, right? That's what we're all doing with investing all the time. Even people that invest in the stock market, like they don't know that they're going to get a return. You're just looking at the information you have and making your best guess, right? And so I think that helps me take a more educated guess when I start thinking about like, is this going to actually, can I make like this amount, right? Because like, do I want to learn from this person? And do I want to learn about email? Like the answer for me almost always going to be yes, because I want to learn all the things. But when I'm like, can I use this to make $6,000 next month? That like starts to kind of be like, oh, wait, let me like look at like what's in there and like, what are they doing? And like, does that work with our strategy? And is that going to work with what I want? And what you were saying too, Samara, about like the vision of your business and like, is this going to take me where I want to go? I really appreciate you guys taking your time to be here. I think you're all just like so wise and such wise women. And I just said women. I'm sorry. They, them. Samara uses gender neutral people. You're such wise people. I'm trying so hard to get on the gender neutral language train, but I'm so used to in my marketing speaking to women. Mm-hmm. And it's been a really big conscious shift I've been working on over the last 6 months to take all that out of our sales marketing, out of our emails. And we're going all gender neutral over here at Faith Maria because our work is for everybody and I want everybody to feel included. So I want to thank you guys for being here so, so much, all you wise humans. I appreciate you all. And can you guys just let everybody know, for anybody that came in late, who you are, what you do, and then tell us where we can like be obsessed with you and be fans of you on the internet. Tell us about your social media. Tell us about any free stuff we can grab, and tell us all the things.
So I'm Samara Kasai, again, they, them. And I am a coach. I work on business mentorship, manifestation for trauma survivors, and self-healing more broadly. And in terms of, free stuff, okay, I have my breathwork and meditation bundle, Exhale Scarcity, Inhale Abundance. It has helped so many people. I'm obsessed with
that. Exhale Scarcity, Inhale Abundance. Who doesn't need that? Everybody needs that.
This is honestly the one that like I take myself through, even though I created it years ago. Like I come back and use it when I need to like reset myself. So I hope y'all love it. Amazing. And then in terms of where you can hang out with me online, I have a podcast called the Cozy Co-Creation Podcast. And I am mostly active on Instagram and my handle is Samara Kasai, the same as my name.
Nice. We'll put everybody's links. It'll be on the blog post for you guys tomorrow on the website. It'll be in the show notes if you're listening on the podcast. If you're on YouTube, it's in the description. All the places, all the things.
I'm Allison Reeves, and I'm she, her, and you can find me at AllisonReeves.co. And inspired by Lizzie Goddard, I have an everything page, AllisonReeves.co/everything, which has all my free offers and paid offers. So I'm a mindset and business coach. So I have a bunch of business and marketing stuff, a bunch of stuff.
Give me some highlights. What's like a couple of your favorite things?
My top free offer on the business side is called the Aligned Wealth Roadmap. And so I get a lot of downloads for that. And then on the top free offer is on the mindset side, it's called the Wealth Wound Quiz. So I identified like the top 5 money mindset issues. And then you take the quiz, you see which one is like the most current for you right now. And then you get the antidote and some exercises for like dealing with the money mindset issue.
Oh, that's really cool. So you guys should definitely go check out Allison's page. There's a lot of stuff. I've lurked on your website before. There's a lot of stuff on that page.
So, I'm a manifesting generator. So I make a lot of things and then it's all chaos. I don't even launch all of them.
Yeah. If you guys want to go get a vault of like really good business mindset resources, definitely go check out Allison's everything page because she's got everything there. And then what about you, Tyra? Where can we stalk you?
You can stalk me at goddessbodymindspirit.com. That's my website. I largely am on YouTube. I go live every Wednesday at 9:15 Eastern time. And I'm on Instagram, so I'll just let Faith give that to you all. I have what I call the Goddess Toolkit. And inside of the Goddess Toolkit, I have a lesson on 4 keys to self-mastery and realization. I have a hypnotherapy track in there about positive thinking and having a positive mindset. And also there's a mindfulness track. I'm not going to lie, I made it so long ago, I don't remember what the mindfulness track is, but you'll love it. Because I'm good at mindfulness. Great. My voice sounds amazing and it will help you. So, but I love doing readings and astrology for people. So if you're kind of wondering where you know, what's your mission and what should you be focusing on right now? You could always book me up for a reading.
Yeah, definitely get on those. My team member has been raving about her Tyra readings. She's like, that is like wisdom on speed dial.
I love doing readings. I just find astrology to be so accurate and on point. So I just want to let everybody know real quick, Faith, we have starting right close about 7 days to the end of March, going into April, most of April, Mercury retrograde. So y'all take care of your tech during that time. Okay.
I do not want to hear that. I want to hear like, Faith, you know what? It's going to rain money on you. Your laptop's going to work. You're going to be in love. When is that season?
Right after Mercury retrograde. Mercury retrograde, season of abundance, baby.
I feel like Mercury retrograde is like a year long in Faith Mariah land lately. I need that shit to ease up. Can we like speed it up or something? I need to do a dance or a rich. What do I need to do?
Just take some deep breaths.
Okay.
All right. And yeah, look at anything I send out. I try to keep y'all posted and aware. So, you know, when to just take it easy and then you'll know other times when to just run with it.
Okay. I love that. Thank you guys so much for being here. I did just do a free workshop yesterday. It was to set up your opt-in tech. If anybody wants help setting up a freebie, I literally gave them templates for one of our highest converting opt-in page. And I made it into a template and I gave it to everybody for free along with a thank you page and a welcome series. And then I showed everybody how to set it all up and I gave you Canva graphics to customize. So you're welcome. And so we'll put the link for that below. If you missed the free workshop, I'm just going to let the replay live out here for a while for free for you guys to have. So that is there. You can find all my stuff at faithmariah.com. All the past episodes of Power Hour are on the blog. So if you go to blog posts, all the video transcripts, the links to the podcast, all the speaker links, all that stuff is there for you guys. And we've had some banger episodes lately. So I appreciate you guys being here and helping me keep the banger episode streak going. I will talk to all of you soon. I really appreciate your time and thank you for being here. Thank you everybody for watching and we'll talk to you guys soon. Bye everybody.
Thank you, Faith. Thank you.